Hey, y'all. It's me, Robin. And just real quick before we get to today's episode, if you are loving listening to the podcast, or maybe you don't know because you've just pressed play for the first time ever, but if you like to listen to things in your earbuds, you are going to be so happy to know that Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors is now released as an audiobook. You can get it in Audible or wherever else you get your audiobooks. And of course, you can still get it in print and ebook. If you go to robingoble.com/book, it's going to give you all the options, including that you could order a signed copy from my local bookstore. Alrighty, y'all. Here's that podcast episode you're waiting for.
So when your kid's behavior is baffling, and yours is too sometimes, yeah, I know. Let's take a break from all the bamboozle here on the Baffling Behavior Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to the Baffling Behavior Show. This is the podcast formerly known as Parenting After Trauma. I'm your host, Robin Goble. And together, me and you come together through this experience of the Baffling Behavior Show, and we practice shifting our lens on how we see behavior. Mostly we talk about our kids' behavior. Sometimes we talk about ourselves. Ultimately, we end up applying it to everyone, right? We together work hard to shift how we see behavior through the lens of relational neuroscience, which is just fancy speak for what it means to be relationally, socially, and behaviorally human. I like to think that you and I come together and you bring everything you know about yourself and your child, and I bring to you what I know about the brain, and we merge those two things together so that you can trust yourself more, so that you can stay more in your owl brain and feel less baffled and decode your child's behavior more accurately, which then, well, one, helps you feel better, but two, helps you make some pretty good guesses about the kinds of things you might be able to do that could help or support them. Sometimes we have episodes where we just talk about the science of things and I help decode things through the lens of the neuroscience. Sometimes we have episodes that deep dive into tools and strategies and techniques and give you lots of practical ideas. And sometimes we have episodes where we pause to really reflect on our own experience and what's happening for us. And that's what we're going to do today by looking at this topic of, is it possible to feel better even if my child's behavior doesn't change? Or maybe it feels a little easier to consider the question of, is it possible to feel better before my child's behavior changes? Because a lot of us, it feels like it's not possible. How could we ever possibly feel better if the chaos around us never, ever, ever changes? So is it possible? Can we feel better even if the stress doesn't change, or even before it does change? And the answer is theoretically, yes, it absolutely theoretically is possible. Is it possible for you specifically? I mean, again, theoretically, yes, but also I know that every single one of you listening has life circumstances that I just know absolutely nothing about. I know some of you listening are in situations where nothing is going to change until somebody helps you. Your child is seriously and critically ill, and maybe not physically. Maybe they don't have a diagnosis of cancer, but your child is ill. I mean, I think there's drawbacks to looking at it that way, but I think there is something important about kind of looking at it in this way, right? Looking at it as your child being ill, looking at it as your child needing medical attention, needing support, because kind of like how parenting doesn't cure cancer, right? For some of you, parenting isn't even close to enough to heal the dysregulation in your child's nervous system. So I know we got to be careful about using words like ill and what does that mean? And is there, you know, ableism baked into that? And all, I totally get all of that. And I also think that when we're parenting kids with nervous system struggles, we can more easily lose sight of the fact that your child needs help, and your child needs possibly way more help than just shifting your parenting. It's not all on you, right? We've done a lot of episodes on this, and we've talked about the trauma of parenting kids with vulnerable nervous systems because of the reality that the support structures and the systems and the services that you need aren't in place. So anyway, I don't want to really belabor that point any more than I already have, but I do want to make sure it's clear that I know that it is likely true that some of you are in situations where you probably aren't going to be able to feel much better until something changes for you, until your family gets the support that you need. But I also know that for many, maybe even most of you listening, it's really important for you to hold on to the hope that you can in fact feel better, even if nothing changes. That you can in fact feel better even before things do change. It's possible. Like, it really truly is possible. You know, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, that your chronic watchdog or possum state, right? Your chronic activation or your chronic shutdown means that you're in chronic protection mode. And our nervous system decides if we should be in connection mode or protection mode by making sense of all the experiences that we are having right now in this moment. And kind of like combining that with info from the past. So it's like these two streams come together, the stream of the now and the stream of the past. And those two streams come together and create our own reality. I have a podcast episode all about that. It's called Connection or Protection. I'll look for the number and the link, and I'll put it down in the show notes. Okay, actually, I pressed pause on recording and went and looked. It's episode 7. I forgot, y'all, have I told you that I've hired a new director of operations? I hired a director of operations. I've never had one before. So that she can focus on all of the operational tasks that are needed to get done to get all this content to you, right? Lots and lots and lots of operational tasks that need to get done so that you can get this podcast and you can get my emails and you can get my social media. But then, of course, there's so many operational tasks that go into running the club and running Being With. And I finally just kind of had to call uncle and say, I cannot do all these operational tasks. Every day I used to wake up and be like, oh my gosh, y'all, I'm a social worker. Like, I don't know how to do this stuff anymore, right? And so I hired this director of operations so that I now can really focus on the things that I love to do: podcasting, emailing, taking care of club members, you know, supporting my students and Being With, teaching, creating content. I get to do all that stuff, and my operations director gets to do all the operational tasks. Why am I telling you this? Because we actually have a system in place where it's so easy now for me to just click, click, and I can figure out what podcast episode it was that I'm talking about. And so I realized I can just pause and do that really quickly. So I paused, I went and looked. The episode of Connection or Protection, it's episode 7. You'll have to scroll way back for that one. So when folks, when kids and adults find themselves living in chronic protection mode, part of what's happening is they don't just have like a stream of the past that combines with the stream of the now, right? But the past becomes a tsunami. When we have nice integration of the stream of the past and the stream of the now, part of what's happening is like all of our past experiences are coming together with everything that's happening in the here and now and helping us understand and make sense of what's happening in the here and now so that we're not constantly learning everything new, right? That'd be terrible. But when our past is kind of full of trauma or toxic stress, or we find ourselves in chronic protection mode, that stream of the past becomes more like a tsunami. It floods. It takes over the now. And all of that past of being unsafe feels like we're unsafe now. So it doesn't matter if the now is safe. The tsunami of the past has us completely stuck and not safe. And it feels like we're not safe now all the time. And we're stuck in protection mode. And that's what leads us to burnout, compassion fatigue, blocked care, you know, feeling chronically watchdoggy and agitated and frustrated and irritated and mad about everything. Okay. If you want to learn more about that, again, connection, how we create like those streams of the past kind of come together to create our reality. Again, go back to episode 7. It's also chapter 2 of my book, The Science of Safety. So you're stuck in a tsunami of the past. And y'all, that past could be like yesterday, right? It doesn't have to mean like years and years ago, over and done with past trauma. The past is maybe yesterday, and there's this tsunami of the past that's full of like cues of danger and feeling danger, 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 danger. And that past is leaving you super flooded by cues of danger and life threat in the here and now. And you're stuck in watchdog or protection mode, right? Well, I'm sorry, watchdog or possum mode, right? You're stuck in protection. And remember, we can come out of protection mode when there are enough cues of safety. So how can you come out of protection mode if all around you there's chaos? All around you there's cues of danger, and that's not going to get better. There are 3 like buckets of safety. And if one bucket is like really full of danger, danger, not safe cues, then we kind of want to look at the other buckets and see if we can fill those with safety cues. So the 3 buckets of safety are inside our inner world and our inner environment, outside what's happening in the outer environment, right? And then between the relational space, okay? 3 buckets of safety, our insides, our outsides, and our in-betweens. Okay, so when one bucket feels kind of impossible to change, we can fill the other buckets with cues of safety and perhaps tip the scale into connection mode. So there's 2 ways to go about doing that. One way is to invite your mind to notice things that are good or at least neutral. When we're stuck in protection mode, we're skipping all of that. When we're stuck in protection mode, we are not noticing things that are good or even neutral. We really are only noticing things that are bad. We're paying attention to things that are bad, and we're overlooking all the things that are not bad. So right now, in this moment, I paused and I looked around and I asked myself, what's good in this moment? Well, it's spring. And sometimes spring days here in Michigan are terrible. But today, this spring day is fantastic. The sun is shining just brilliantly. It's 60 degrees. Our days are getting longer and longer and longer. Like yesterday, I was noticing it was kind of still twilighty at 9 p.m. And I love that. I love the long days. Love, love, love them. We live so far north in the U.S. that we get these like really long days in the summertime, and I absolutely love it. So I noticed that. And then in my immediate line of sight, I can see a huge tree in my backyard that has burst open with like white blossoms. And I think this just happened in the last day or so because I'm just really noticing it now. I have these Adirondack chairs kind of right outside my office door that are Michigan shaped. Like the backs of them are Michigan shaped, like mitten, you know? And y'all, I've wanted these Adirondacks since I moved here. I've just been like coveting these Michigan Adirondacks. And I finally bought them a year or two ago. I can't remember. And these Adirondacks, shaped like Michigan, bring me a relatively absurd amount of delight, given that they're chairs. And so they're right there. I see them. Let's see. Well, I have a mug of coffee, of course. And of course, it's also in a glitter mug. And oh, also that mug says, "All of you is welcome." Okay, so my point here was to pause and very deliberately scan my environment, scan the outside for cues of safety, and then to notice those. Okay. Now, of course, pausing and noticing, and if you're in a spot where you can do that right now, I invite you to do that. Of course, that might not be enough to help your nervous system tip over into safety, right? And certainly it might not be enough to help your nervous system like tip over into safety overall. Like I'm positive in the last 49 seconds, I did not cure your burnout, right? That simple noticing wasn't enough, but maybe it was enough for you to shift into safety for just a moment or two. And believe it or not, that's meaningful. It really does matter. So there are these things we can do ourselves to help when everything around us is chaotic. I got a billion podcast episodes about that. But I also want to teach you something that I teach my Being With students. So my Being With students are professionals who help parents of kids with big baffling behaviors. And some are therapists or mental health professionals, but some are working in different fields. Some are parents themselves. Some are educators. Some are occupational therapists. You have a wide variety of professionals in Being With. All of them share this passion for wanting to support the parents of the kids that they work with and wanting more skills and tools to be able to do that. And more capacity to sit with the amount of dysregulation that the families we work with bring in. And it can be really overwhelming for professionals to sit with parents whose lives are totally out of control. And these professionals know that the thing that parents need the most are things they can't really give them. Right? Things like true, real boots on the ground stuff, like somebody to come in and be a second set of hands in your home, like when your kid is raging, or, you know, actual, you know, psychiatric, psychopharmacological help that actually helps. Right? Or support at school, right? There's all these things that professionals know you need, but they're not really in charge of giving them to you. So they can't. And that often can leave professionals feeling really helpless and hopelessness, right? So how do I help these professionals not collapse into that hopelessness themselves? Because hopeless professionals either become like really hardened and cranky and then frankly, not very helpful to you, or they quit their jobs, also not very helpful to you. So my job, my passion really is, how do I help there be more people who can help you? Okay, so we start at the very beginning in Being With, where we talk about this thing called the resonance circuitry, and I teach them how the resonance circuitry works. So very briefly and very kind of oversimplified, but I think enough, resonance happens when two people come together. And we're seeing this happen in real life, right? People come together. But we can also see resonance in people coming together in virtual spaces and actually even asynchronous spaces like this podcast or internet forums where like, you're not listening to me right now. You're going to listen to me later. I mean, you're listening to me and you're right now, but nobody's listening to me right now as I'm recording this. I'm recording this now and it's going to be listened to later. So that's asynchronous. Also, probably most of you and I, well, we're never going to meet, but we can still come together and create that resonance, right? So as you're listening now, you're probably developing a resonant space with me. It's a space where me and you come together and we create a we. And inside that resonant space, you then have a neural firing that represents me. We don't have to be together. We don't have to even know each other. It doesn't have to be one-on-one. You're listening to this podcast and you are having a neural firing as you're listening that represents me. And that's representing the safety and the relational connection that I'm bringing to you. So over time, that neural firing happens enough that eventually the neural firing doesn't even need me to be present to happen, meaning you think of me or the things that I've told you or the compassion that I've offered you or the felt sense of that compassion, even when you're not listening to this podcast, right? It's like you hold it in mind, you can bring it to mind even when you're not immediately experiencing it. That means that the neural firing has happened enough that you can bring it to mind even if it's not happening. That neural firing of safety and connection that's happened for me and you can happen even when I'm not there. Now, those external cues of safety, me, right? I've been an external cue of safety as you've listened to this podcast. Now, as you've listened enough, and there's now like a neural pattern of the connection and co-regulation you get from this podcast in your mind, now what was external cues of safety are also now internal cues of safety. And that's a bucket of safety, right? Inside, outside, between. Now, that sense of connection and co-regulation is something you have with you all the time. Now, I talked about me specifically here just to make this easier to explain. And because if you're hearing me talk, it's because you're listening to the podcast, and that's a really good, easy example, you know, for me to draw on. Let's go back now to my being with students. I teach them that even if they feel like they have no tools or techniques to offer to a family, when they're feeling overwhelmed, when they're like, oh my gosh, there's nothing I can do to help these people, or when they're feeling kind of out of their league, right? Or they're just feeling aware of the fact that's like, wow, what this family needs, I certainly can't give them. I don't even know if what this family needs exists, right? I teach them that when they're feeling that way, they can be someone who is with that family, with y'all, those of you listening, with safety, connection, and co-regulation. Even if they don't have a tool or technique, they can be with you with the safety, connection, and co-regulation. Because then eventually the family that they're with, the parents they're with, the caregivers they're with, eventually, right, they're having neural firings of safety, connection, and co-regulation while they're with, you know, the helper who is my being with student, right? And those are between cues of safety, external cues of safety. And eventually, those cues of safety from my being with student become internalized by the professional. I'm sorry, become internalized by the caregiver. Right? And now the caregiver starts to make, that's you listening, starts to like essentially like have a neural firing in their mind of the professional who's been supporting them. So again, that external cue of safety has now become an internal cue of safety. So we're building the bucket of internal cues of safety, right? And when this happens repeatedly, it becomes a neural firing that's strong enough that it's available to their clients, even when they're not with their client. Their client can draw them to mind. I am really bouncing around between pronouns here. I hope this is making sense to y'all, right? That this is how the parents I work with, this is how you listening start to feel better even before anything in your life, even before the chaos changes, that you have the opportunity to be with somebody who offers you connection and co-regulation. And eventually that person becomes like embedded inside your neural biology and becomes internal cues of safety. This puts a lot of like drops of safety. I kind of think about it like that, into both the between bucket and the inside bucket of safety. And that might just help you, the parent, a caregiver, calm that tsunami of danger, 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 and be able to hang onto your owl brain just a little bit longer. Experience safety if you are, in fact, actually safe. If you've listened to this podcast, you know that I don't want you to try to like trick yourself into being safe if you're not safe, right? If you're physically in danger, let your watchdog or your possum brain do its job. But if you're safe in this moment, but your fried nervous system has you feeling like you're in danger, this is how we start to shift that. And yes, those of us that have the privilege of safety available to us, and not all of us do. I have an older episode about the privilege of safety. I'm interrupting the show real quick because if you happen to be a new listener, you might find yourself being a little overwhelmed by all this information. That makes total sense. I mean, there's like 150 episodes plus all the free resources that are available over my website. It's just a lot. So many folks have asked me, where do I start? So I created a separate podcast stream called Start Here. What I did is I took the 10 episodes that I want you to listen to first, and then I want you to listen to in this specific order, and I put them into a separate podcast stream so that you don't have to search for them. You can just press play and they'll play one after the other after the other. If you go to robingoble.com/start here, you'll be able to get an invitation to subscribe, and then you'll be able to listen right in the same podcast app you're using right now. robingoble.com/start here. That's episode 169. See, I just went to check. Episode 169. That parenting with safety and parenting this way without question is a privilege, meaning it's not something we all have. We don't all have enough felt safety to be able to parent this way. And that's not because you're doing it wrong, right? It's because we live in a culture and in a society where felt safety isn't a given. It's not a guarantee. So it is possible, it is theoretically possible to feel better even before things change and even if nothing changes. Please, 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 please do not shame yourself. If you can't figure out a way to simply just feel better because I said it's theoretically possible to feel better, okay? Just because I said it's theoretically possible doesn't mean that if you can't feel better, that somehow that's your fault or you're doing it wrong. And that's not the intention at all. Please, please, please don't take it that way. You're doing nothing wrong. I want to give you hope, not shame you if you can't achieve it, right? This is a topic we talk about a lot around here. I have my previous nervous system fried. Is your nervous system fried, or what to do if your nervous system is fried? I don't know what I called it. That's episode 139. I also have a really fun little infographic that goes along with it. So you can scroll back to episode 139, and in the show notes, there should be a link to get that infographic if you don't have it. If you're on my email list, on April 21st, that was a Sunday, I sent out an email with a list of podcast episodes that are helpful specifically for burned out parents. And if you're listening to this episode and you're in the club, I've also posted that over in the club. To summarize everything we've talked about here in today's episode, there are things you can do to help yourself feel better, find safety, without relying on anyone else or having money or resources or free time. There are things you could do that would help your nervous system feel safe when it is safe. I didn't hash that all out or give you tons of examples, but I did direct you to a few places like that Nervous System is Fried episode. I think I just said that was 139. You can go to chapter 11 in my book. If you got my email on Sunday, April 21st, you can go there. If you're in the club, you can go and look at that list of podcast episodes for burned out parents. So there's things you can do yourself, and there are things you can do that involve taking in cues of safety from relationship and taking in the cues from the between, from outside of yourself, because eventually those become cues of safety internally. Those folks that you turn to for connection and co-regulation, those folks start to live in your mind. So if you've read Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, I think it's in chapter 10 where Nat says that she's starting to hear my voice in her head. And that's the moment I know that she's beginning to build a nice, strong neural network of me in her mind, of safety and connection. And y'all, that's good. And it doesn't have to be me, but I want it to be someone. I want you to have a neural network of someone in your mind of safety and connection. And if it gets to be me because of the podcast or because of the book or because you're in the club, super fantastic. But if it's not me and it's someone else, that's super fantastic. Of course, wonderful. This neurobiology and the resonance circuitry, it is literally the reason I started this podcast, because I know how the resonance circuitry works and I knew I could begin to offer some co-regulation to people like all around the whole world through a podcast. And it's why I wrote the book the way that I wrote it, because I thought it could happen that way too. I wasn't totally sure, but I thought that it could. And y'all are telling me that that is happening, that you are feeling better, feeling more seen, feeling connection, experiencing the co-regulation through written words. And y'all, that is mind-blowing. It's remarkable, right? Just remarkable. It is definitely why I created the club, for that connection and co-regulation. I mean, some folks join the club and they just read the forum and they watch the videos. That's their level of involvement. That's perfect for them. You know, some folks join the club and they're like really active in the forum and they are giving and receiving connection and co-regulation. Some folks join the club and they mostly are just receiving connection and co-regulation from the forum, right? That's great too. Some folks have the capacity to show up in the forum and offer that connection and co-regulation. That's offer too, because actually it's really healing for us to offer connection and co-regulation to others. Some folks come to the live events and have the opportunity to interact with me live, like in person, right? They're virtual, but they're live. We start to create stronger and stronger and stronger neural nets of safety because of our resonance with one another, right? The club members with me and me with them. And most magically, y'all, is them with each other. The way that parents show up for one another in the club is so magical. And I'm talking about the club because that's the thing, of course, I have the most familiarity with, right? That's where I am every single day. It's one option. And I think it works somewhat because I've been so strategic and deliberate about a few things that create relational safety. But the club is far from the only option. There are other forums. There's other groups. There's other podcasts. There's other places in an asynchronous or in a virtual way, like podcasts or forums, but also, of course, like support groups live or therapy or parent coaching. There's so many ways that you can seek out connection and co-regulation. I've created what I've created because I also know that so many folks, they don't have anywhere to turn to, right? And so I've attempted to fill some of that gap with what I do with the podcast and the book and the club. But regardless of where you get that connection and co-regulation, the connection and co-regulation matters. These moments of connection, even with a stranger podcast host that you might not ever meet, they really, really matter. That's resonance. Those cues of safety eventually become embedded in our own nervous system and are always there. And we can turn those cues from the outside. Turn to those cues from the inside. And that's kind of like a buy one, get one free. It's like a 2-for-1 special. So those outside cues of safety that you're getting from somebody you get connection, co-regulation from, they eventually become internal ones. And now we've like doubled those cues of safety. So yes, you can feel better. I'm not guaranteeing it. And I'm certainly not guaranteeing the timeline. Of course, there are things going on in your life I couldn't possibly fathom that could be real barriers for your nervous system shifting into feeling safe. But it is technically, physiologically possible, and I hope that feels hopeful to you. If you are new to the podcast, I hope you keep coming back. Keep pressing play. If you're brand new, there's 175 episodes that you can get through before a new episode comes out next week. And right now we're also releasing replays on Fridays. I'm going to keep that up for as long as I can manage. There's a little tiny bit of work that goes into doing, getting those replays ready. But y'all are telling me you're liking it, so I'm going to keep that up for the immediate future. Because of this, because the more opportunities you have for resonance with connection and co-regulation, the better. And I wish you could come here. I wish you could be here with me. And I wish we could do that one-on-one. And I wish we could do that in person. And I also am so grateful that these opportunities exist, that I can offer this to so many folks that otherwise don't have anywhere to turn to for this connection and for this co-regulation. So keep coming back to the podcast. Sign up to get my emails. I usually send 2 a week. So that's another dose of connection and co-regulation for you. You can follow me on social media. You can go to my free resources page and like stock up on all the free resources that are available. And if it feels like it would be helpful for you, you can come and join the club. The club is not always open for new members, but check when it is. The club's open for new members April 30th through May 3rd. So that might be when you're listening to this episode. That might be in the past and it's not currently open, but come and check robingoble.com/the club to see if we're open, or put yourself on the waiting list to be notified the next time we are open. All right, y'all, I will be back with you again next Tuesday for another new episode of the Baffling Behavior Show and another opportunity for us to have resonance and that connection and that co-regulation. I'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye. Are you ending this episode with maybe a big sigh of relief? Like, yes, finally, someone gets me and my kids. But also maybe a sense of like, okay, but now what? All right, y'all, I've got lots of possible now whats. If you want to connect with me directly, like pick my brain, have access to me almost every day, not to mention hundreds of other parents from around the world who totally get what it's like to be you, then you're going to want to join us in the club. We have monthly live events, including groups for siblings of dysregulated kids, a huge video library with something like 80 or 90 videos, plus transcripts and certificates of completion. Plus, of course, a very active forum that I'm participating in every single day. We open for new members periodically, so go check robingoble.com/the club. If we aren't open now, you can put yourself on the waiting list and I'll let you know the moment we open for new members. That's robingoble.com/the club. Now, if you're a professional and you want to strengthen your capacity to work with the families of kids with big baffling behaviors and vulnerable nervous systems, plus use all of my materials, including a 12-module course that follows raising kids with big baffling behaviors, plus be included in an online searchable directory so families all over the world could find you, then you're looking for Being With, which is my year-long immersive training program that runs January through December. So you'll want to go to robingoble.com/beingwith, read all about it. And if you're interested, put yourself on that waiting list too. Now, if you just maybe need a little extra connection and co-regulation, but don't feel like you need to join the club, then you can just keep listening to my podcast, or you could go subscribe to my Start Here podcast, and that'll give you 10 episodes in order that will take you through cultivating a great foundation of parenting with regulation, connection, and felt safety. That's at robingoble.com/start here. You have to go there. You can't just find it in your podcast app. Or you could get yourself a copy of Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, paper book, audio book, ebook. You can get that anywhere books are sold. Or you could just head to my website, download one of my very many free resources. I keep them all really easy to access at robingoble.com/free resources. Webinars, masterclasses, ebooks, infographics, all sorts of stuff. Go check it out. See what of those things could be supportive of you or maybe to the other adults in your life who are helping support you and your child. There are just so many ways that you and I could be more connected, and you can get the amount of co-regulation and support that you need. If it feels like a lot to remember, all you have to do is go to robingoble.com and take your time clicking around, seeing what I got there. I am so, so glad you and I are connected now, and I can't wait to be with you again soon in our next episode of the Baffling Behavior Show. Bye-bye, y'all.